Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Other NBA stuff trickling in. Kyle Lowry basically announcing that he's going to join the Miami Heat on his own Twitter. And how about this? Duncan Robinson. Folks, learn to shoot. 5 years, $90 million for Duncan Robinson to stay with the Miami Heat.
That will work.
And I have some breaking news for you.
Kyle Lowry also just tweeted out, Miami and Kyle Lowry, let's go. Is that what you just said?
Yep. Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Awesome.
What is a horseshoe? What does a horseshoe do? Are there any horse socks? Is anybody listening to me?
Anyways.
Yeah. Good to have you back.
20 seconds ago, and Kyle Lowry just announcing on his own Twitter that he's joining the Miami Heat.
I was getting ready to go to Jamal's call. I'm sorry. I'll point a thumb.
You said you were right there. I have doubts now.
I was right there, and now I'm not.
I apologize. It was bound to happen in the first show back.
Chris Paul
just signed a four-year, $120 million contract.
Paul, 1 second before you break. Chris Paul did decline his player option.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
4 years, $120 million is what I'm seeing, Shane. Does that work with you?
Yeah, it is, and it's because he declined his player option.
That makes sense.
I'm getting four for $120 over here.
Wow, really? Four for $120 for Chris Paul.
I wish I would have had that.
30 per for 4 years.
Let me do that math. Hang on.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some man you just can't reach.
One, two, three.
And here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
DeMar DeRozan is now a Bull. We will get to that in a minute. So they have completely remade the team. There are now expectations for the playoffs. David Ross also did some hope trafficking on the station earlier today. We will get to that. But there has been a show development, Speaks.
Yeah.
We have a show outing all of a sudden, impromptu, tonight.
All of a sudden, the four-pack of us all going to White Sox tonight. And after interviewing Brian Goodwin, we know where the heart of this show is this evening.
Yeah, so thank you, Shane, for the tickets.
It was Brian Goodwin, right?
It was Brian Goodwin
today that we talked to.
Yes, yeah,
I think so.
I get confused.
It could have been.
Okay. Here you go.
As we welcome our next guest, the King of the Bat Flip, Billy Hamilton. Not Billy Hamilton, Brian Goodwin. I got the guy's page up right here. We prepped for it. We watched the video 100 times before the show. I apologize. Brian Goodwin joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. Brian, thank you so much for being on the show and putting up with my idiocy. How you doing, man?
Yeah, man, I'm doing all right, man. I'm going to go grab Billy in a second so he can come in and finish
No, I don't want to talk to Billy.
The first of several shots directly at you from the great Brian Goodwin.
Yes, he
took it well.
He was lovely. He took it well. I am an idiot. He is a very smart individual. I am stupid. Mortified, Shane. Mortified, Tanny. Are you guys okay going to the game with me tonight? Because
now that we know what you're going to be wearing, yes, yeah. 100%.
So Shane said he shared his Venmo publicly because he wanted to get me a custom-made 83 throwback Brian Goodwin jersey funded by the audience. And Shane, can you update people on that, please?
Yeah, so I went ahead because I have so much confidence in the Parkinson Spiegel audience. I bought the jersey from Grandstand right there on 35th, just past the park, just west of the park. And it was like $195, which is insane for an 83 throwback jersey. But it's great. It looks phenomenal. They tweeted it at us. We're about $45 away, but I had faith in the audience, so I went ahead and bought it anyway. And I'll cover that $45 for the content if need be. But the Venmo is Shane Reardon.
That's really big of you.
That's really large. Yeah.
Yeah. But so if someone wants to help fund the rest of the jersey, that's fine. Shane Reardon on Venmo. I'm happy to cover it as well. But the jersey is made, so I will be atoning for my sins at the Sox game tonight, rocking a Brian Goodwin jersey. That's my second number 18 White Sox jersey of the year.
It's Yom Kippur of sorts tonight at the ballpark, as you will be atoning. I love that it's 18. How perfect is that?
We've got to get Danny to accumulate a nice little collection of Sox 18 jerseys. I think Brent Lillibridge, his favorite guy.
He's my favorite guy.
I think he was 18.
He was. There has been an accumulation.
I'm ready. I'm excited. It'll be a great time. Yikes. I'm sure I've made bigger mistakes on the air. But whew, that was among the most embarrassing.
It's an embarrassing one.
It was bad.
Tommy Agee.
That's coming from the Holocaust question, guys.
Yeah, I know. How about a 1960? Oh, no, that's a Players Award number one. Sorry about that. All right, carry on, everybody. Forget it.
Oh,
read the chart wrong.
God.
I'm getting there.
Oh, it's so ridiculous. So we're there. We've already covered it.
He saved it, man.
Yes, he was great.
Goodwin absolutely saved it. And he was yet another interesting White Sox interview who is himself a great story. The unlikely role that Brian Goodwin is playing on this team. Who would have seen that coming?
No, the team is awesome. The team is likable. The team is loaded right now. And he rejected the, all right, let's just get to the playoffs thing. He's like, no, they're not worried about complacency at all. If anything, he feels like they're locking in even more. Mm. And it's exciting to see them back it up and just continue to tinker and figure this whole thing. I mean, basically the question is going to be health. And exactly how the bullpen's going to work, right? And then, Robert and Eloy come in for health. Defense, you still think has to be figured out?
Absolutely.
In terms of, like, late inning with the lead lineups?
That's
a concern for sure. But, yeah, concern. In terms of, like, figure out the rest of the way.
Yeah. The Cliff Polite 2005 jersey, that would look pretty tight on Danny. There's an 18 we can get behind. Tyler Saladino 2016 18 jersey. That would also look hot. And of course, Daniel Palka. I always think of Danny when I think of there's an adult Dan. No, he was a Daniel.
He goes by Daniel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's close.
Yeah, he's a full Daniel.
Mm. Yeah. So he's
a real adult.
He's not close. That's not close at all. You gotta be Danny.
It's really close though. The first three
all
letters.
All adult
are the same.
Dannys are also Daniels. You're not born Danny. You're Danny as a kid, and then you choose to stay with Danny into adulthood.
Do you remember early in the year, there was a point where the Cubs bullpen was absolutely on fire, and it was leading the league in strikeout rate. It was like, oh, man, the Cubs are striking out a lot of people in that bullpen. It was saving them. Two of those bullpen guys are now on the White Sox. You add that to the White Sox guys. I saw this chart yesterday. 30% strikeout rate for the White Sox bullpen. Far and away number one in all of baseball. Just an absolutely filthy bullpen as currently constructed right now. And I got to figure out how it's going to go with the double closer action. But it's a nice problem to have.
Yeah, it's a nice little problem to have, wouldn't you possibly say. But no, it's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to going to the game with the four of us as a show. Haven't done a show outing since Rosemary, right? The four
Correct.
Of us?
Yeah.
Right. Speaks paid, yeah. I remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, appreciate that again, Speaks.
No problem, man. Happy to do that. Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
I hate you guys so much. But it's going to be fun tonight. It's going to be great.
Happy to pay you back with a White Sox ticket I didn't pay for.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
That's appreciated.
And it was, you know, financed by the fans. You got to love it. You know, like the turnabout's fair play. You know, you bought them drinks down in the Craft Cave.
Yes, I did.
So
yes.
Now they're bringing the, you're buying the jersey that's going to be on your back. It's like my man who I saw up in Milwaukee at the tailgate, the photo that I think I shared with the group thread. He had a photo on his T-shirt of him with Danny Parkins buying him a beer.
That was a weird thing. And I couldn't tell if that was this moment that he was celebrating or if he was just totally mocking me, and I'm sure it was somewhere in between.
The shirt said Parkins tab member since 2018, I believe is what it said.
Parkins tab member since 2018.
That was the only installment, right, of your tab club?
I've bought beers.
Pandemic, you know, pandemic happened.
Yeah, pandemic. No, I bought beers at other sports. The only time I did it at a White Sox game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think you go ahead and make the shirt just to troll you out of insult. I
would do that.
I think there's some homage that's going on there.
It was worth my reaction, whatever he paid for it. Like someone tapped me on the shoulder, like, hey, look at this guy.
I think we might have to face the fact that there's some genuine Parkins appreciation out there. I'm not sure how that sits.
No, I don't think
it doesn't sit well.
I think there is. And I think I've been to a lot of Sox games so far this year and a lot of Cub games. People like the show. Don't know why. But they do like the show. They like you guys a lot. And I think you'll realize that tonight when you're there in the flesh. You're like cult heroes to some of these White Sox fans. I don't get it.
It's for what we got Tim Anderson to say because of you guys, because of the Locked On Sox podcast. Speaks and I are just, you know.
Yeah, we're just a couple of jamokes.
We're just here.
I was just talking to Rick Hahn the other day, who's, again, one of my good friends, just about how much he loves you guys.
Now I know you're lying. No, I think that Rick Hahn has done an amazing job. Frankly, I think he's very good at his job, and I support Rick Hahn in all of his endeavors. I just want to be on the record with that in case Rick's driving to the game right now. Mm-hmm. He's listening. Rick, big fan. Always have been.
Danny, earlier...
Is there a Rick Hahn 18 jersey that I could possibly get?
Oh, God.
I can make you a Hahn jersey, sure.
Hahn number one?
No problem.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Hahn!
Hahn number one.
You know, Danny, I'm not that interested.
It was still a fair question.
Don't blame you, Rick.
Clearly it's not.
What were you going to say? You were going to say something.
Earlier, you asked me...
Give me something.
You asked me what Major League Baseball players have been traded at the trade deadline and then returned to their team via free agency in the winter, okay, before the next season. And I did a deep dive on this before the show, and it's a very, very small number.
Okay.
Aroldis Chapman.
So a deep dive that resulted in not much.
Well, yeah, because there's not that many out there. Aroldis Chapman in 2016. Jay Bruce and the Mets in 2017. They dealt him to Cleveland in August of 2017. He decided to go back to the Mets. Jason Hamill of the Cubs in 2014. I give you Rick Aguilera of the Twins in 1995. Ricky Henderson of the Oakland A's traded for Steve Carce in 1993. And there's not many more after that. There's a couple Orioles in the early, in 2003, Sidney Ponson did it. Mike Bordick in the year 2000. Kenny Lofton, kind of, but that was like one offseason to another offseason from the Indians to the Braves back to the Indians. It's very, very, very rare. In a general sense, salute in MLB.
Well, the reason I asked, obviously, is because people keep talking about, well, they could just re-sign Rizzo. They could re-sign Bryant. They could re-sign Baez. And no one's going to publicly say no, right, on the front end. That'd be dumb. Why would Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo or Javi Baez...
dismiss that leverage?
And... big market team, a connection, in theory, a big spending team eventually.
And they might have still nice thoughts about doing it and want the fans to understand they have good feelings about it.
Well, there's just no upside for either party to dismiss it publicly. No upside for Jed to be like, no, I'm not bringing those guys back. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason for the players, both from a leverage standpoint and a likability standpoint, to be like, no, of course not. I've got no interest in that. That door is forever closed. I'll see you at the 20-year anniversary of 2016. But saying, well, sure, anything's possible is one thing. David Ross with Lawrence today took it a step further. I want people to listen to this and see if you think Jed Hoyer would be thrilled with how David Ross framed the possibility of Rizzo, Bryant, and Baez and their potential future with the Cubs.
I mean, oh, boy. It's a lot of hugs. There's a lot of you know, some tears, like, look like we're, you know, we're human beings, and there's a history that, and a historical, you know, concept to this that you've been around these guys and fighting for, you know, championships and, you know, contracts and playing for one uniform for a really long time. I mean, with Rizzo in particular being here through the hard times early on, seeing the success and what was built around him, and then being let go at the back end to go to another team. I mean, that's hard. KB, you know, one of the last ones to get traded. I think too, like him sitting around and we have conversations in my office about, you know, what's going on in the unknown. And then Javi, like I had to call Javi on the phone in his hotel room. And then, you know, you have some words and you hear the sadness in his voice. And then he gets to the yard and, you get the hugs and then it's kind of just status quo as, saying his goodbyes to his teammates and, you know, moving forward. It's just, there's each guy, I would say, in those particular, the big boys were that have been here and established, so much of the winning that has come here in Chicago. You know, I think between those three, it just was, each one of them was unique and, very emotional. And also, like, does it feel like the right time a little bit, probably, for each guy? I would say in some ways, yeah. You know, like it just, you know, we're whatever we were back in the standings, like I don't want to see that caliber of a player sit around here the last 2 months and have to go through, you know, what potentially, you know, is not going to be the greatest baseball. So I want those guys to be able to move forward and be able to still continue to play for championships.
Because of your relationship
with the understanding that they can be back too, right? Like, I mean, it's not, I think some of that is it's not goodbye forever, right? I mean, no matter what with me, I mean, I'm connected with those guys for the rest of my life. So it's not permanent for me. And I don't know that anybody feels like there's a finality to that. And we know it is a business and it's a crazy, crazy world, but like there's definitely opportunity to get some of those guys back.
That's interesting to jump in and
unsolicited, and right?
To jump on Lawrence's follow up to make sure he gets that in there.
And
that feels a little like trying to do right by those guys the way that Jed did with trading them, supposedly, a little bit, like considering them. So I know you were asking, would Jed Hoyer be happy with that? That feels aligned with the overall perspective of Jed Hoyer.
I don't know. It was unprompted. It certainly didn't feel like, and I'm not suggesting that these guys put as much thought into their answers to the interviews as we think about the questions, right? We're a line item on their day, but David Ross going on Lawrence's show is a big deal for the show and vice versa, right? We get Jed Hoyer on whatever. But it felt like just a throw-in, like an impromptu thing. And I just, Jed Hoyer certainly didn't say that. When he went on with Dan and Layla, he talked about liking those guys and you never know the future and they'll be Cubs for life and I don't want to deal with the PR battle and their legacies are intact and all that. But he didn't say, like, with the opportunity that one or some of those guys could be back. Like, that's not...
He did say he'd be open to it on Friday when he talked after the deadline had passed.
Yeah, but so in that way, it's aligned. What chance do you think that any of those guys re-sign in Chicago? I would say it's very, very low.
Yeah, you know, before I answer that, though, one thing about David, to your point, like what that job is now as the conduit between the front office and the players and the guy who is supposed to get all the nuance across, think about everything that was in there in that answer, that even these guys, if forced to really think about it, they know it's time. Like, he threw that in there. Because look at it, guys. We're a fourth-place team. You're about to be a free agent. This makes sense. This logically makes sense. So it's his job to get that across a little bit, too, along the way.
You're right.
And so that's mixed in.
Well, re-signing all of them doesn't make sense.
No, re-signing all of them. In fact, I think he's siding with them. Like, he gets that little message across. But overall, he's siding with them. And, you know, pushing against the front office a little bit, if anything, because it's sad. It is sad. He's got to deal with that, the human damage of that, and be on their side a little bit, while also giving voice to the nuance. So
the guys that can help moving forward, I think we've got some money to spend this offseason. And
yeah, they do have some money to spend this offseason. They'll have a lot of money. I don't think it makes sense to sign most of those guys. If any of those guys.
No.
It really doesn't. Like top free agent dollar in the earning peak for those guys, while you have just taken a step back and you clearly don't know exactly when you're going to have the bones of the next great championship team.
I see no way Bryant's back. He's going to be too expensive. Scott Boris, there's bad blood. He's getting a taste of the West Coast. Rizzo, if his market craters,
it's possible.
Right? I think that one is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Baez is pretty damn unlikely. They have Nico Horner. They have Ed Howard in the system. They just traded for Nick Madrigal. Like,
his market might crater too.
It could. There's a lot of shortstops available. So his market.
And I don't think he's going to get what he thinks. So, I mean, I could see the concept of a one-year prove-it or something like that for Javi if he decides that.
But wouldn't that be
a
qualifying offer from the Mets? I mean, I guess he could turn that down and then, right, he could reject the qualifying offer and then the market really crater and then end up signing a one-year prove-it offer somewhere else.
You know what? I forget how the qualifying offer is affected by the trade. I forget whether the Mets have the full right to do that. I won't BS it while I actually look.
Yeah. I think all of those guys are content with not being here, and I think that the Cubs have chosen a direction, which is they're not competing next year, so mm-hmm. they don't want to spend. Like, I think they're going to spend some money this offseason, but they're going to spend money on short-term deals. I don't think they're spending five, six-year deals that reach nine figures.
You're not eligible for only which players are eligible for the qualifying offer? Only those who have never received an offer previously and B, have spent the entire season on that team's roster.
Okay, so they're just unrestricted free agents.
Correct.
After the trade. Okay. So maybe if there's a one-year offer, but then I don't know that Jed would want to do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why would Jed want to, hey, I'm going to sign Javi Baez for 1 year and then have to trade him a second time as a sign and flip or go through the goodbye process again? That mm-hmm. that doesn't seem likely. Like, I don't know, man. I just think it's hoping it's a no.
You think it's a no on all three?
I think it's a no on all three.
That's most likely.
And I think it doesn't necessarily serve Cubs fans who are hurt by it, who are surprised by it, who maybe don't follow it every day, who aren't diehard sports radio or Twitter or whatever, like reading the tea leaves. Like, a lot of Cubs fans, my nanny today, I picked her up from the train. She's like, I can't believe like all the Cubs guys were traded. Heard people talking about it at the golf course.
Everybody, like, everywhere, man.
Even though we've been talking about it for months.
And it's, there's some ugliness. Anthony Rizzo on Up the Dial today and pushed back on Jed Hoyer's assertion that he made on this station and the other one about, you know, that the desire to extend was not reciprocated. So Rizzo pushed back on that.
But so I'm just saying, like, I think for whatever amount of the fan base that we reach, it is in our best interest and fans' best interest who were hurt by it to be prepared. It's overwhelmingly likely over between the Cubs and Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, and Anthony Rizzo in terms of playing together again.
Yeah.
It's overwhelmingly likely over. And that's okay. It was a great run. Disappointing that they didn't hang another banner out there for a pennant or a World Series. But they gave you the most successful Cubs era in any of our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended the curse. They'll be legends in that fan base in this town.
Oh, for sure.
Forever.
For sure.
And you'll see them back with other teams. and at reunions and Cubs conventions for years to come.
And they may come back in 2 or 3 years. I mean, I could see Rizzo coming
finishing
back.
His career.
Finish his career as a viable first base bat or even a depth first base bat. What's going to be interesting is what the makeup of the team is going to be. There is so little money committed to next year. And obviously there's a couple of big ticket items or one real big ticket item with Jason Hayward. But there is so little committed that they're going to have to spend some money. But I think you'll see them be creative in the ways that the Dodgers were as they were building the thing. Like, that's why this Eric Hosmer rumor about taking Hosmer's big money that's left over in San Diego.
Right, but getting a great prospect.
Exactly. Doing something creative like that while also spending some money, it might be the kind of thing you see the Cubs do in the offseason.
Speaking of spending money, the Bulls gave DeMar DeRozan 3 years, $85 million. The starting lineup now, presumably, Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Patrick Williams, Nikola Vucevic. What's the ceiling for that team this year? We discuss next on The Score.
Get the Chicago Bulls back to relevancy and get that brand back to where it's cool again.
I think that is the key to this whole thing. And I'm not trying to create straw men here. I've seen this on the internet, media people. I was going back and forth with Russ Dorsey sometimes.
And this is a very common opinion you're about to voice here.
Yeah, that, well, what is this team going to actually win? You're not competing for a championship with Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Patrick Williams, and Nikola Vucevic with Kobe White and Caruso coming off the bench as your sixth and seventh man. And my answer to you would be, you're right. You're absolutely right. But did you see how intense the 4-5 series in the East was between the Hawks and the Knicks?
Yeah, it was great. It was great theater.
Both cities completely into it.
Mm-hmm.
Buildings rocking. Secondary market ticket prices through the roof. Excitement, youth, the whole thing.
Because of the happenstance of Brooklyn's injuries, you knew that the winner of that was going to have a legit shot to get out of the East.
But also the return to relevance in those basketball cities. And Knicks fans excited about RJ Barrett and Julius Randle. The Hawks excited about the core that's around Trae Young, who they just gave a rookie max to. Like, neither one of those teams and their fan bases went into those playoffs thinking that they had any shot to win a title, even with Brooklyn's injuries. No one thought, okay, we're going to beat this other team, then we're going to beat Brooklyn, then we'll beat Milwaukee, then we'll beat the Lakers, right? Like, no one went into it at that moment when the series started thinking that. But they were still incredibly excited and incredibly charged up, and it gave those cities and those fan bases and their reputation around the league a little bit of juice, and that matters.
Yeah, and it's not actively choosing mediocrity. It's choosing to be competitive with an aim towards eventually being great. It's choosing to show the entire league that you know how to build a team and you are trying to win, that you are about winning. You're trying to show the league that you deserve respect, you deserve consideration, and you too should want to come here and play because we do very well here. We know what we're doing, and we have a great sports town too.
So let's just play it out, right? I think right now the Bucks clearly ahead of them, Brooklyn clearly ahead of them, and then I would say I think Miami is ahead of them, and Philly will see.
It's hard not to say Atlanta because of Trey being on the rise, but
yeah, but it's a young team, right? The Bulls, and I think it's going to take a while for the Bulls to gel. So I think it's unlikely that the Bulls are the fifth seed this year. But right. I think the conversation.
So you went
Milwaukee Bucks, and Brooklyn,
Bucks and Brooklyn for sure. And then did you go Miami better?
I went Miami better.
With Kyle Lowry down there in the mix now, too?
Yeah, that's just a good team. It's a very, very good team.
Even if it's Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid, and even if it's still Ben Simmons, Sixers are going to win a lot of games. But whatever they get for Ben Simmons with Tobias and Embiid is going to be very impressive.
Yeah, And Daryl Morey is one of the most creative executives in the game. But and hey, Boston is, they were 500 this past year, but they got Tatum and Brown. You've got Atlanta. You've got the Knicks. It's a very competitive conference. But I think that the absolute wild, everything falls right, and a couple guys get injured on other teams, ceiling is
five seed.
Yeah, but maybe the three. Like, and I doubt it for year one, but three seed to seven seed feels like the range of outcomes for this team, with three seed being very unlikely, seven seed being a disappointment.
Boy, three would be very heady. But it's not off the table because of the quality of players you're talking about. It's just they're not going to defend people very well, other than Lonzo and Caruso, and that matters. But
and Patrick Williams.
Yeah, yes, but there's going to be a lot of times you have DeRozan and Zach and Vooch all out there, and
they're not going to be a very good defensive team. I agree with you, but many teams in the NBA aren't. It's an offensive league. Offense beats defense in that league. But
having all three, like, and even just the wing combo of Zach and DeRozan, neither of them are lockdown wing defenders.
No, not at all. There's going to be some ugly. And I think we'll see how good of a coach Billy Donovan really is. Like, I think he's replacement level, and we think he's a huge upgrade from what we just had, right, with Jim Boylan. And I think he's also done some of his best work with really young teams and young players, and now he's got, in his prime, Zach LaVine, 30-year-old Vucevic, 32-year-old DeRozan, and all of these new pieces to mesh together on the fly. It's going to be a real test to see how good of a coach Billy Donovan is.
Yeah.
But I just think what matters so much, and we talked about this for years on the Spiegelwood Parkin show when it was like the end of Garpax, is just reputation, man.
Oh, reputation. This is a real good day for the reputation. Second day in a row that's real good for the reputation.
DeMar DeRozan chose the Bulls. Now, they offered him the most money, but the Clippers were interested. He chose the Bulls. Lonzo Ball chose the Bulls. Who got a bigger free agent deal that switched teams than Lonzo Ball? Has it happened? Duncan Robinson went back. Got 90 to stay.
Well, Lonzo's was what, 85?
Yeah.
Same as DeMar.
Right, but did anyone get a bigger free agent contract to change teams?
I don't know that anybody did.
Right, because Trae Young got a bigger one, but he stayed.
Steph got a big extension, but he stayed.
So I think that there is a real chance here
that the Bulls are going to end up looking like the winner in terms of free agent destination this offseason.
Yeah, and it's not tier one, right? This isn't Kevin Durant choosing Brooklyn. This isn't Kawhi choosing the Clippers.
How about Lowry's deal? How big was Lowry's deal down in Miami?
Did he get more?
Yeah, I think
I thought he took a little bit of a pay cut.
Mm-hmm. I'll look.
Yeah, but point being,
three years, 90 mil.
Okay, so that's bigger.
That's a little bigger.
But among the most desirable and expensive free agents who changed teams, two of them chose the Bulls. That matters.
And
period.
Yes,
that matters.
Absolutely. And we've got a front office that understands the way the league runs these days and the way that rosters are built. And they're staying malleable. These are interesting pieces. You know, Cowley was all about, you know, pressure's on Zach. If it's not good, then you might be traded. Sure, Zach could be traded, but other pieces could be traded too. Like, you can't be surprised at anything anymore that AK and Eversley do. They might hit the deadline and be like, what? This person's available? All right, let's shuffle it again. Like, you keep shuffling until you get the mix that you like. Who the hell knows what they might do in that regard? And they have a lot of interesting pieces on that. I mean, even DeRozan, towards the end of that deal, it's going to be an expiring contract. That has its own value at that point, too.
Yeah, I mean, Vucevic will, and he's descending. We'll see what Zach LaVine does. We'll see what Zach LaVine comes back with Team USA. Hey, and also, improvement. I keep mentioning this. Bobby Portis has improved since leaving the Bulls. Cameron Payne has improved since leaving the Bulls. And those were not blue chip talents. Lonzo Ball's a blue chip talent. He's added a lot to his game since he's been in the NBA. Let's see what Lonzo Ball added this. What if Lonzo Ball all of a sudden is a finisher at the rim with a floater? What if Lonzo Ball added a floater in the offseason? Right? And all of a sudden he's a little bit more of a viable pick and roll guy. He's never going to be like a super athletic finisher at the rim. But what if he is? What if he added a floater?
Yeah.
What if Patrick Williams?
I don't even think they want him to be a pick and roll guy with this offense, though. Right? They don't even expect it necessarily.
They don't expect it, but it's never a bad thing for your point guard to be able to run some pick and roll in the NBA. It's by far the most common initiation of offense. But like, what if Patrick Williams takes a leap? Like you just have to, unless you have a top five guy or multiple top 15 guys. You just gotta lurk, you know, because you can't go worst to first in the NBA. No. It doesn't exist.
And you gotta let your guys improve the way that DeRozan did in Toronto, the way that the Spurs have had different guys improve while they've been there, that the Heat have had guys improve while they're there, because you're developing in the NBA.
So you gotta
put
a good situation around Patrick Williams. You gotta put a good situation around Lonzo Ball and Kobe White.
Just had a little image. DeRozan's game, by the way, if anybody hasn't watched him a lot, he's not a great deep shooter like Zach. Like Zach is a terrific deep 3-point shooter. And a deep jumper shooter, as well as an attacker, and has good mid-range game. DeMar DeRozan's game is mid-range. Will kill you. A lot, you know, similar to Kawhi's offensive game before Kawhi really added the three-point shot a lot. It's going to be good for Patrick Williams to watch DeMar DeRozan's expertly played mid-range scoring game. It's going to be healthy.
Yeah, it should be. I have very high hopes for him. I don't know what the ceiling is, but I don't think we also know what the floor is. So that's a good sign. Like this guy's got limitless potential, and they're going to be interesting. They are going to be a playoff team. If they're not, it's an absolute disaster, and they should be watchable. And frankly, after the last, eight or so years of directionless Bulls basketball, This is at least an exciting team with upside and a plan and a return to relevancy. I am in.
And a very exciting style I think they're going to play. DeRozan's a willing playmaker. Obviously, Ball is. Obviously, Vooch is. There's going to be a lot of passing, a lot of fun hoops.
Brian Goodwin has commented on the jersey I'll be wearing to the White Sox game tonight. We update that story next on The Score. I'm so sorry.
Let me see
what Billy doing right now.
I don't even think Billy could get that bat that high in the air. No offense to Billy. You're a much thicker, stronger human being, Brian Goodwin.
You can't be sweeping me up now. Too late.
You're right.
It was him. It wasn't me, Brian. Wow, I didn't realize. Looking back, I bus tossed you fast, didn't I?
Yeah, I mean. That's your modus operandi, right?
Oh,
Whoa! He's a stud. Yeah, it's fine.
Start the buses.
I was doing it to myself. I deserved it. I did not need anyone to come to my rescue in that moment other than Brian Goodwin being a very helpful guy. So I appreciate that.
And he did.
Yeah, he was very helpful. He was great. And now he says that I am going to be looking super fly.
No, he didn't.
Let's
really
not embellish for the listeners. Yeah, come
he
just on.
Said he said the jersey looked super fly.
Yeah, like the jersey's on a hanger on a wall. He said it's looking super fly. There was nothing about you looking super
fly. He responded to my tweet where I said, I'll be rocking this bad boy at the game tonight. And he said, looking super fly.
How could he know that you're looking super fly if you're not wearing it?
Because he's responding to a tweet that I linked him in that said, I'll be rocking it at the game. And he says, yeah, you'll be looking super fly.
But he didn't say you'll be looking super fly.
No. But Danny's assuming that Brian Goodwin read the verb tense of his tweet.
Of which I linked him in which he's responding to.
And carried it forward, following it through. I'll be there. Yes, you'll be there looking super fly.
I don't like that assumption. You know what they say about people who assume you're a jackass.
I think that is what they say, but
it helps you remember to spell it that way too. Yep. There's a J-A-C-K right there.
Can we call Brian Goodwin back? Is it too close to first pitch and ask him?
He's not playing, so.
Oh,
he's not playing
in troubles.
Maybe he'll come sit by us for a little while.
Oh, I got to get this jersey in front of him. Get it signed, maybe? A little picture of us rocking our Brian Goodwin jerseys?
Nope.
Nope. Too far?
No autograph on the jersey. Oh. Adult Danny.
Who do you think, what's more handsome and muscular? Danny with that jersey on or the hanger with that jersey on? What do you think?
Similar physique. Hey, B-Flow from 108 responded to the jersey and said, looks like a child's medium. Danny been carving up lately?
That's not funny. That's not funny.
I dispute that. It's funny.
It was very funny from Pat Beatloaf.
Yeah, all right. That's pretty
good. Pat Beatloaf.
It's an adult large. It's
actually, his last name is, he's from the Wisconsin Beatloafs.
Yep.
That is an adult large. It'll be a little baggy.
It's going to look good on you, though.
It's going to look fly.
It's the 83, man.
Yes, it is.
83.
Looking forward to going to this game tonight with you gentlemen.
Me too.
Should be an excellent time.
Should we meet up and get the fans a beverage at some point along the way?
I mean, I'm always available to purchase beverages for the people.
Unless you're doing something.
Unless I'm doing something. Yeah, we'll do that.
I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
Just find me. I'll be the guy in the Brian Goodwin jersey. Where are our tickets, Shane?
Right behind home plate, section 130.
Nice.
Top of the section.
130. Come see us there. Be a good time with the mob.
That's near the Elotes, if memory serves. Very excited about
that. I think they're
that.
Rickon's personal seats, to tell you the truth.
Oh, because you guys are close personal friends.
Yep.
White Sox, big favorites tonight. Biggest favorite of any team in Major League Baseball.
Way to go.
-240.
Betting guy, ruining time with the old ballpark
speeds. Wait. Don't hit it. I have a par lock tonight for the people that I've laid.
I call him Gambler.
Yep. I got a par lock. Let me pull it up here. I put $18 down on this par lock of Dylan Cease, 8-plus strikeouts, Adam Engel to record 2-plus hits.
Oh, boy.
Andrew Vaughn to record 2-plus hits.
Oh,
and the
boy.
White Sox to win by at least 4.
Big fan of the white guys tonight.
What does that pay?
$1,200. So if you need $1,200, you can have it.
The
just gotta spend 18.
The Parlock Prince has spoken.
You know why I did 18, right?
I can figure it out. For Brian Goodwin.
I also have a $5 bet on Cesar Hernandez to homer today.
Oh, the second baseman. Love that guy.
The second baseman, yeah.
He's going to have a monster game.
What about the king of bat flips? What do you got him?
Billy Hamilton? I don't know what Billy's going to do.
Yeah, nothing. He's not playing either.
I hate you guys so much. Ben Verlander, Brian Goodwin, Joe Cowley, and Mark Grody were our guests. Connor O'Donnell on the Twitch chat and video stream. Thank you, sir. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Very much appreciate all you do. Chris Tannehill makes it sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. This is Parkins and Spiegel on The Score.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, one of those things. Not a good one of those things, but one of those things.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.